This is an ABC News special, Chaos at the Capitol. From ABC News headquarters, here is correspondent Aaron Katursky.
Good evening. We have never seen this before. Armed protesters, Americans, storming the United States Capitol, breaking windows on their way into the Senate and House chambers, forcing lawmakers into secure rooms, a Confederate flag waving inside the Capitol, a woman shot in the halls of Congress. It began today as a rally on the other side of the National Mall. Save America, it was called. President Trump addressed the crowd, urged the demonstrators to go to the Capitol, telling them, "You'll never take back our country with weakness. You'll have to show strength, and you have to be strong." Less than an hour later, as Congress was hearing arguments on a long-shot objection to Arizona's vote count, protesters overwhelmed Capitol security, and the chaos began. We're going to begin on Capitol Hill. ABC's Inez Della Cotera. Inez, what's the scene?
Aaron, it has calmed down in the last few moments, in the last hour. The protesters who were lining the steps of the Capitol for the most part of the day have been cleared out. So it appears that police officers have regained control of the situation, at least outside. It's much quieter. There have been a number of kind of alerts being blasted from the speakers from the building, telling people that if they are inside the Capitol and not respecting the 6 p.m. curfew imposed by the D.C. mayor, that they will be arrested. So that is certainly ominous. And there is a much bigger police presence than there was earlier in the day. I was outside the Capitol building all afternoon, and something that struck me was the apparent lack of police presence. There were a ton of police vehicles, but police officers were nowhere to be seen. I don't know if they were inside the building or elsewhere. But in the later part of the evening, in the last hour, we've seen a number of vehicles arrive and just a bigger police presence, it seems.
Washington, D.C. brought under control with the assistance not only of the extra police, but the National Guard and federal officers after a melee erupted with gunshots in the Capitol, a woman shot and now killed, tear gas, and as protesters forcibly removed from the Capitol grounds now in accordance with a curfew that went into effect about an hour ago.
That's right, and arrested. And so that, the question is whether that was enough to deter protesters, to get them to go home, whether it was because of the curfew, whether it was because they were simply worn out. They had been here all day. It was a freezing day as well, so that might be part of it. But it has certainly calmed down. It's interesting to note that lawmakers are still inside, and they say they plan to resume their joint session of Congress to certify Joe Biden's win and count these electoral votes, which was what they were doing before this all broke out. We'll see if protesters decide to return, but certainly a huge presence now, a huge police presence on Capitol Hill. Again, helicopters in the sky, SWAT officers on the roof of the Capitol, SWAT vehicles outside the Capitol. There seems to be a much larger police presence now than there was earlier in the day. So it doesn't appear that things are going to get as bad as they did earlier today.
A presence befitting what former President George W. Bush called an insurrection that unfolded at the Capitol. As Inez notes, as lawmakers were hearing arguments on their long-shot objection to Arizona's electoral vote count. These objections are still the business of Congress as lawmakers were huddled into secure rooms, many with reporters in tow, as Capitol Police locked down the buildings and kept the House and Senate out of session. We are told now that less than an hour from now, the Senate is going to gavel back into session. It appears in the Senate chamber where earlier protesters had been ransacking through. I want to turn to our political director, Rick Klein. They still have the constitutional business at hand, Rick, to certify these electoral results.
Yeah, and the timing of this siege on the Capitol was, of course, no mistake. It was timed to coincide with this day where Congress would convene to formally receive and ultimately accept the electoral votes. This is usually a pretty ho-hum process. Today, it was expected to take a couple hours, maybe even extending into the evening or tomorrow, given the quantity of objections. But now it's taken on even a greater symbolic value for members of Congress. They feel like it's imperative that they resume that work to send a message that the business of government cannot be shut down. We've already heard from a few Republicans who were planning to object, who are now saying, well, maybe not so much. So it's possible that there's some curtailment in the quantity of objections, maybe how long it takes. There have been calls for unanimity in the Senate by Senator Mitt Romney, among others. I don't see that happening, but it does seem like there will be a resumption this evening. And maybe the use of less time and certainly less heated rhetoric, given the day that we have just witnessed.
Lawmakers were diving for cover, Rick, and then told to shelter in place. The very ballots that they were there to certify had to be rescued by Capitol staff.
Extraordinary in every way. And I think the signals from heroic staffers, lives were saved, no doubt, by the quick action of Capitol Police. The complex was woefully unprepared for this assault, and it wasn't assault by a mob, wasn't protest or something much more nefarious than that. But thankfully, there wasn't a greater loss of life. Of course, the woman who was killed in the gunfire, it's a tragic occurrence, but it could have been a lot worse. Certainly, the scenes were a lot worse, and I think the resumption tonight will be an important step, and I think sending the message that that Joe Biden will continue to be inaugurated, that nothing can disrupt that piece of democracy.
Where the inauguration is scheduled to take place 2 weeks from now, the west front of the Capitol was swarming with protesters as others breached a number of different entrances into the building and ransacked through the House and Senate chambers. At one point, one demonstrator carried a Confederate flag through the halls of Congress. Another made himself comfortable, putting his feet up on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk. And for much of the day, President Trump remained silent. Let's turn to the White House, ABC's Karen Travers. The president may be silenced a bit tonight by Twitter.
He has been. Twitter has just said that they have locked his account for the next 12 hours. They say because of the unprecedented and ongoing violent situation in Washington, we have required the removal of 3 tweets from the president. They say these were posted earlier and were in repeated and severe violations of Twitter's civic integrity policy. So this means the account will be locked for 12 hours following the removal of those tweets. And Twitter says if they are not removed, the account will remain locked. There is now a lid at the White House, and what that means is we will not see the president for the rest of the night. He's not going to make a surprise appearance in the briefing room or speak to reporters on camera. I speculated, though, that he would do another message through a tweet, maybe something of a video message, as he did earlier this afternoon. Now, he can't do that. He can figure out another way maybe to get his message out, but this is striking to see on such a significant day, such a momentous day in Washington, the president's primary mode of communication has been taken away from him, Aaron.
When he did have access to his accounts, though, mm-hmm. he seemed to want to almost memorialize what had gone on today.
One of the tweets that Twitter deleted, but his most recent one, it was just a striking statement. The president said of what unfolded at the Capitol, those dramatic scenes of chaos and violence. He says, these are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who he says have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Now, the president, Aaron, goes on to say, go home with love and in peace. But his last line got a lot of attention. He says, remember this day forever, exclamation point. He seemed to be commemorating the moment up on Capitol Hill. He seemed to be memorializing it. And critics say celebrating what took place. And that's a big contrast to the, I think, resounding bipartisan criticism and denouncing of what took place at the Capitol. You know, even people who were supporting the challenge of the Electoral College results, even people who have engaged and entertained the president's baseless conspiracy theories about the election and his claims of fraud, even they were saying, this is a line too far. Violence cannot be tolerated. The president, though, did not go as far as many Republican lawmakers and even his own vice president, who at one point, Aaron, was calling for people involved in this to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers. I want to turn back to Rick Klein, our political director. We just heard from Senator Rand Paul that he doesn't expect any additional objections Does that mean Republicans have dropped this?
Well, I think it sounds like they were going to let play out the initial objection, which is to the Arizona election results. That's really by virtue of alphabetical order. It was the first state that was contested that President Trump has claimed falsely that there were irregularities in. So I'd expect that to play out maybe in a curtailed form, and maybe that be it. I mean, I think that would be the neatest and cleanest way to tie this loose end. The formal business of the House and Senate right now is to consider those Arizona challenges. They've launched the required 2 hours of debate, but barely, because just a few minutes into that debate, of course, we saw the chaos that enveloped the Capitol. So they'll have to pick that up unless there's some kind of unanimous consent resolution that would allow them to drop it. It hasn't sounded that way. My sense, though, is that everyone, given the events of today, has a lot less interest in the political combat that we were expecting.
My goodness, after elected representatives scrambled to crouch under desks and behind chairs, they donned gas masks while police futilely tried to barricade the building. It was, Rick, just one of the most jarring scenes I think we've ever seen at the Capitol.
It was horrible. It was awful. It was sad, frankly, for me to watch. And I thank goodness there weren't more casualties. But it was just a tragic and terrible scene. I mean, the symbolism of this moment, the importance of that building, it remains to me unfathomable that number of people could have breached the premises and then conducted themselves in that way with such impunity. It was repulsive. It was disgusting. For many of those folks, it was an act of terrorism. For others, you could use words like sedition, insurrection, coup. It was awful and terrible, and really one of the darkest days that I have ever covered in covering politics in this country.
Rick, we're starting to hear Democrats use words like impeach. Is that a real call, or is that just another Democrat making the same play that they've been making for the last 4 years?
Aaron, I think it's more real than you might think, with only 2 weeks left in the term. And I think it's for two reasons. One is that there's a growing sense that maybe even some Republicans would privately say that there's something wrong with the president's head at this moment, frankly. And there's talk about using the 25th Amendment to remove him. I think that is unlikely. But the talk of impeachment is real. It's being entertained by members of House and even Senate leadership. I think the other reason is that impeachment and expulsion or removal from office can also include disqualification from holding other federal offices. And the concern about him potentially running again could be solved by impeachment. So I'm not predicting that it succeeds, but I think there's going to be real discussion of that, even though the president will no longer be president 14 days from now.
Let me pull Steve Roberts, our political analyst, into the conversation. Rick, the rioters were egged on by President Trump. He has spent weeks falsely attacking the integrity of the election. He urged supporters to descend on Washington. What do today's developments mean for his legacy?
Well, I think we're talking about an indelible image. Now, for Trump supporters, this will be an image to cheer. This will be an image to celebrate. The president himself, in his final tweet before he was barred from Twitter, said, "Remember this day." So he thinks it's a triumph. But it split the Republican Party right down the middle. And it laid bare something that's been simmering now for a long time. A lot of Republicans have put up with Donald Trump and said, "Let Trump be Trump." And I think this final spasm has revealed that a great many Republicans are sick of Donald Trump and even fearful of Donald Trump. And so the very image that he thinks will carry forward as an image of power, an image of lasting strength, I think in the end will actually be an image that will stain his legacy and cripple his ability to be a power, not eliminate it, because he's still got 74 million votes. He still has an enormously fervent and powerful group of supporters within the Republican Party. But the lasting image of today, I think, will also strengthen significantly the faction of the Republican Party that has cowered before Donald Trump and been fearful of Donald Trump, has now been emboldened to oppose Donald Trump, Aaron.
And so, Rick, how do we read the Republican Party at this moment? I guess one signal would be whether they move forward with these objections to the Electoral College results.
Yeah, and I think for many Republicans, the sense that they've had of the end stages of the presidency is that you can manage his temper tantrums, you can indulge him in these conspiracy theories, and there is no impact. And going into the debate today, as something that Mitch McConnell even directly addressed because he thought there was an impact. But many Republicans thought, look, let's just go through the motions here. We'll do right by Trump supporters. No harm, no foul. Well, there was a foul and real harm to democracy and basic confidence in the ability of government to function that happened here. And I think it revealed the harms in indulging fantasies, delusions. But I think the other concern is that, well, President Trump will be gone in 2 weeks. The many millions of Americans who supported him that Steve just referenced aren't going anywhere. And the people that showed up today in Washington, they're not going to suddenly disappear from the country or from even political activity simply because President Trump is out of office. And for all as horrible as today was, you know, if frankly, it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, one woman was shot and killed, but we do not know of the extent of any other injuries. We did see images of police officers with bandaged heads. Other protesters and demonstrators, part of the violent mob, said they were tear gassed, but we don't yet know. It all, Steve, poses a challenge to the president-elect. We heard briefly from President-elect Biden today calling on Donald Trump to end the siege and the unprecedented intrusion into the Capitol.
Well, there was a very mixed messages today in terms of the impact for Joe Biden. As Rick was just saying, 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump are not going away. And for months now, they have been told repeatedly by Donald Trump that the election was rigged, that the Biden presidency would be illegitimate. And Joe Biden is going to inherit a country that is very deeply divided, with a very significant portion of the electorate believing that he won the presidency unfairly. But at the same time today, the other development that is very hopeful for the Biden administration was the results in the Georgia Senate elections, where both Democrats, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, were elected to the U.S. Senate. That means that as Biden takes office, that means the Democrats control not just the House, albeit by a slim margin, but the U.S. Senate, even though it would be tied 50-50. That means Kamala Harris, the vice president, would break a tie. And even with that very, very slender, the slenderest of margins, remember what that means. That means that Chuck Schumer, the Democrat, is the majority leader, not Mitch McConnell. That means Democrats control the floor of the Senate and decide every bill that comes up. That means that every committee chairman is now a Democrat. That means that every committee is run by Democrats that have the power not just to move legislation, but hold hearings and call witnesses. That means that even though Republicans have a filibuster on many legislative issues, that Biden will be much freer to appoint federal judges as soon as he takes office. So it was a day that symbolized the split in the country and the ferocity of the opposition to the new president. But it also brought him a very important piece of good news that will give him a lot more flexibility in terms of his program on Capitol Hill. A
staggering day indeed. Our political analyst, Steve Roberts. Vice President Pence, we have just heard from, he never left the Capitol. He has now returned to the Senate. And his spokesman said, we will now finish the people's business. And that business includes certifying the election results to propel Joe Biden to the presidency. Stay with us. I'm Aaron Katursky. You're listening to live coverage, Chaos at the Capitol, from ABC News.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an ABC News special, Chaos at the Capitol. Once again, here is ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky.
A mob incited by President Trump stormed the Capitol, a violent escalation of the divisions that have coursed through the country during his 4 years in office. A woman was shot and killed. Tear gas and flashbangs were deployed. Now, though, the Capitol is secure, and Congress is ready to reconvene a short while from now to finish certification of the election. We're joined by Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. Congressman, what's the plan for the evening?
Well, we're still awaiting the precise details, but I do think it's a positive sign that we're hearing we'll reconvene. I think it's important that we finish the certification tonight, and I have to believe that the objectors will drop their objections after what they've seen today. I mean, my view is that Congress has no constitutional authority to overturn the results of the elections in the states and, by extension, the will of the American people. But on a practical level, I think we've seen that there are dangerous consequences to giving people false hope that somehow Congress not only has that authority, but will be successful in the effort. And what I saw today on the Capitol was unlike anything I've seen, except for my time in Iraq in uniform.
I was going to ask you about that.
You like to think this stuff can't happen in America, and we take the peaceful transfer of power for granted. But, you know, every time someone violates an unwritten rule or a norm, you know, it invites the other side to do the same, and things can escalate out of control pretty quickly. And that's what happened. You know, early in the day, I started to hear flashbangs going off, which was presumably the Capitol Police trying to get the protesters to back off, but they violently confronted them. You know, all of a sudden, the vice president was rushed out of the House chamber, and we're barricading the doors of the House, and and then tragically it culminated in someone getting shot and killed. I mean, think about that for a second. In the United States Capitol, someone gets shot and killed. It's unacceptable. We have to stop telling the American people something that's not true regarding what Congress can do in this election. The president needs to encourage his supporters to stand down, accept the peaceful transfer of power, and hopefully we can emerge from this stronger. But no doubt, you know, American democracy suffered a bit of a blow today.
I noticed that in the middle of it all, you had taken to Twitter to say we are witnessing absolute banana republic crap in the United States Capitol right now. And you tweeted directly at President Trump saying you need to call this off. Were the statements that he put out sufficient?
Well, I'm glad. I still haven't watched the video he put out. It's been pretty much chaos here for a while, so I apologize. I understand he called for people to peacefully remove themselves, but then kind of muddled the message by saying, you know, I still won in a landslide and it was stolen. And, you know, it's almost like encouraging these people to, we're going to live on to fight another day. And I think that's counterproductive. I mean, I think he's got to commit himself to the peaceful transfer of power. You know, listen, I campaigned for him. It stinks that we lost. But, you know, American politics, when you lose, you dust yourself off and you figure out how you can do better going forward. And that's what we need to do as a party. And I think you can do that while still being sensitive to the concerns of millions of Americans regarding voter fraud and voter irregularities. I think every state, my home state of Wisconsin included, needs to make, you know, voter integrity a top priority, needs to do a hot wash of what happened, similar to what Florida did post 2000, and give people confidence in the system going forward. I think there's no question that states made last second changes to deal with the pandemic, and it created a lot of confusion. But that's a separate process. That should not, suddenly give Congress the power to completely overturn an election. I mean, as a conservative, I just fear the precedent that sets. And, you know, I feel the more we traffic in that, the more we'll get what we saw today.
Have you heard commitments from your fellow Republicans to drop their objections, assuming things reconvene?
I have not. I have not. My hope is that House leadership will encourage them to, but obviously House leadership, with the exception of Liz Cheney, was joining them in the objections. So I don't know. I think it would be very it's difficult for me to imagine them taking to the House floor and continuing the objection after the craziness we saw over the last few hours. But I've consistently underestimated the ambition of some of my colleagues for 4 years. So we'll see.
Congressman, we appreciate it. We're glad you were well, and you'll continue the business of the people this evening. Congressman Mike Gallagher, a Republican of Wisconsin. ABC News political director Rick Klein, we heard the congressman say there are dangerous consequences when you give people false hope.
Yeah, and I think that is one takeaway from today's events that is being shared across the political spectrum. And I think, Aaron, there was a sense among Republicans that you could do this and be okay and maybe manage the issue and not really engage with the president and allow him to peddle these lies and falsehoods and conspiracy theories. And that has just been ripped away. And I'm left by, you know, really searing images in my brain about what we saw today. And those elements are not going away. That's going to be here when Donald Trump is gone. And he will be gone in 2 weeks, regardless of anything else that happens.
Rick Klein, our political director, Steve Roberts, our political analyst with us, too. It's striking to hear a sitting member of Congress compare what happened in the Capitol to what happened when he was in Iraq.
And particularly a conservative Republican. Congressman Gallagher has been a significantly courageous voice in trying to say, look, let's remember what a conservative is. And this is one of the key points that Rick, of course, has talked about over many weeks and months. And I agree that in many ways, what you're seeing, the split in the Republican Party, it's not liberals versus conservatives. It's conservatives versus radicals. It's conservatives like Congressman Gallagher who say, you know, that what the president has done, what the president is doing, is the very opposite of conservative. It's destabilizing. It's challenging norms. It's upheaval. Whereas the essence of true conservatism in this view is that you protect institutions, you remember the past, you operate by precedent, you make progress in small steps. And that's one of the interesting divisions that you're seeing, that congressmen like Congressman Gallagher haven't turned into Democrats. What they've done is turned into true conservatives and said, finally, that the man in the White House is not really a true conservative. And that tension has been there all along. As Rick said, it's been simmering under the surface. A lot of people thought they could manage the president. Now they realize they can't, Aaron.
ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts, along with our political director Rick Klein. ABC's Inez de la Quatera joins us live from the Capitol. Inez, just set the scene for us. Where are you? What do you see?
Aaron, so the scene has calmed down for now. It's certainly different than what we saw earlier in the day when protesters were lining the steps of the Capitol, and the scene was incredibly tense. We saw, you know, dozens, hundreds of protesters dressed in black, wearing bulletproof vests, wearing gas masks, very few COVID masks, though, I will point out, and carrying, you know, Trump flags, American flags, chanting USA, USA. One particularly tense moment stood out to me when a group of men all dressed in black, about a dozen of them, marched by members of the media who were gathered in one area and started yelling out to the media, where can we sign up to shoot people? And of course, the concern being that a woman had just been shot inside the Capitol, and there were clearly there was a concern that there could be armed protesters around. So that was shocking. I think another shocking moment to me was just getting to the Capitol in the early afternoon and seeing a man in a stretcher being loaded into an ambulance. The man appeared to be a police officer. So a very tense day, but things have calmed down for now. There's a much larger police presence right now than there was earlier in the day, and protesters have cleared the steps of the Capitol.
ABC's Inez de la Quatera there at the scene. The Washington, D.C. National Guard has been activated. There is a curfew that has been in effect for the better part of, nearly 2 hours now, and that may have helped clear some of the scene and ease some of the tension. And there is movement out of the White House. I want to turn to our White House correspondent, Karen Travers. We have not heard any more from the president, but some staff members are heading out.
Directly from the president, because he will not be able to tweet tonight. Twitter has suspended his account after they've flagged and removed several of his tweets because of the situation that took place at the Capitol today, and worried about this encouraging more violence. But we just learned in the last few minutes that the chief of staff to the First Lady, Stephanie Grisham, remember, she was the former White House press secretary, but perhaps not a household name to people because she did not hold a single briefing in her time as the press secretary. But Stephanie Grisham tonight has resigned from her senior position in the Trump administration. And we are told that while she had been thinking about doing this for some time, she is doing it in response to what happened today in Washington. Now, notably, Aaron, the statement that Stephanie Grisham released to ABC does not mention the protest, does not mention the president or anything about the ugliness that we saw today here in the nation's capital. She says it was an honor to serve the country in the White House. She was proud to be part of Mrs. Trump's mission to help children everywhere, and she's proud of the many accomplishments of this administration. We also should note it's January 6th. The inauguration for Joe Biden is in 14 days. So a lot of people are leaving the Trump administration. They've been doing that for the last several weeks. So let's take this with a bit of a grain of salt that Stephanie Grisham is saying she's leaving because of what happened and the protest and the violence up on Capitol Hill, when she was probably going to be leaving at some point, if not before January 20th. Everybody's leaving on January 20th anyway.
And Karen, you make that point. In 2 weeks, there's going to be an inauguration at a space that was being set up and then was overrun by protesters. How in the world do they stage that in just 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, and you know, the inauguration, the part that was going to take place at the Capitol, the swearing in of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, remarks in an inaugural address by Joe Biden, this was going to have a smaller footprint. That's what Biden transition officials and inauguration officials have been telling us for a couple of weeks. We learned today, I think it was only today, that George W. Bush, the former president, would be coming to town. He would be the first president who said, confirming that he would be there for the peaceful transfer of power, which he says was, you know, such a strong tradition of this country. I don't know what this is going to look like now in 2 weeks. You know, the scaffolding was up for the big area where the dignitaries would be for the inauguration, for the actual ceremony. The bleachers, really, you know, put outside there for people to sit in near the Capitol, those are draped with Trump flags tonight after they were overtaken by these mob of demonstrators earlier today.
It amounted to an attempted coup that they hoped would overturn the election that President Trump lost. That's Karen Travers, our White House correspondent. Let's return to the Capitol. ABC's Inez de la Quintera. All's quiet now as Washington comes under control, Inez.
That's right, Aaron. And it seems to be that the mayor's 6 p.m. curfew worked and got protesters to clear out from Capitol Hill. But a really terrifying scene, a heartbreaking scene on Capitol Hill that unfolded today. I think for a lot of us Hill reporters, it was just shocking to see how we got to this point. I mean, if you know Capitol Hill police, they are typically, they will yell at reporters who sit on the floor or who stand in the wrong areas when lawmakers are passing through or heading to lunch. There are certain areas where you can stand in the Capitol building. So to see it get to this point, I think, was shocking, especially when we knew that protesters were going to be headed to the Capitol. And it was quite a sight to see today. I mean, these you know, hundreds of protesters lining the steps of the Capitol, wearing black for the most part, wearing bulletproof vests and gas masks. It was really, really alarming.
Alarming indeed, so much so that former defense officials who served under President Trump are starting to weigh in on today's events, including former Defense Secretary Mattis, who said today's violent assault on our Capitol and effort to subjugate American democracy by mob rule was fomented by President Trump. ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts on an incredible day.
It was a day when the most sacred shrine in the American civic religion, the U.S. Capitol, was desecrated by a mob. It was also true, however, Aaron, that the long-range story of this year is not the desecration of democracy. It's the triumph of democracy. Think about how many figures, federal judges, Republican lawmakers, this Republican Secretary of State of Georgia, stood up to President Trump's attempt to subvert and undermine democracy. So this was a sad day in a way, in a very profound way, the desecration of the Capitol. But it's not a permanent stain, because the long range, the lasting lesson of this year was not the fragility of democracy, Aaron. It's the strength of democracy. It's not the mob who tried to desecrate the Capitol. It's the officials who stood up to the mob and have stood up to the president and have stood up the attempts to subvert this election since Election Day. That's the lasting lesson of this year, Aaron.
And as if picking up on the theme from ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts, the House and Senate are set to reconvene moments from now to finish the work of certifying the election results after halting proceedings because of what happened in the Capitol. I'm Aaron Katursky. You're listening to live coverage from ABC News.
When breaking news changes the world, ABC News, accurate, credible, and unmatched. On Twitter, at ABC News Radio.